The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Hallelujah. This is November. This is Zoe month. Amen. And this month we are expecting and we are enjoying supernatural favors. Have you been experiencing that? Supernatural favors. Things turning for your good. People looking favorably towards you. Luke 2 verse 52, the Bible tells us Jesus grew in stature, in wisdom, and in favor with God and man. So when you grow in favor, not only will God look favorably towards you, man also will look favorably towards you. He grew in favor with God and man. And that will be your testimony this month. In the name of Jesus. So we started a series and we are rounding it up today. I'm teaching on Ruda. Glory to God. Ruda, you know, R-U-D-D-E-R is on the board. Ruda. It's the Ruda refers to a small metal that you attach to a ship. You see, to control the ship, to determine the direction of the ship. And we can liken that to the steering of a car. It is the steering of a car that determines where the car goes to. So even if you have a trailer that has 14 tires, it is still that small steering that determines where the car will turn to. And we are looking at that today, or so far, because the Bible likens the tongue to a rudder. In James chapter 3 and verse 3, the Bible tells us in verse 3 how that we put bits in the mouth of horses to determine where they go. We put bits in their mouth. In verse 4, the Bible talks about, in NLT, how the rudder of a ship controls where the ship goes to. And the Bible likens that in verse 5, verse 4 says, and a small rudder makes good ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. And the Bible in verse 5 brings our tongue into the conversation, showing us that the same way the rudder of a sheep controls where it goes to, that is the same thing your tongue does to you. And so, actually, I've said it again and again, that it is not your leg or your mind that carries you to where you are going to. It is your tongue that takes you there. It is your tongue that determines where you are faced. Are you what I'm talking about here now? It's your tongue that determines where you are faced. And I showed us again and again, for instance, in James chapter 3, as we're looking at it already, verse 2 tells us very clearly that any man that is mature, that is perfect, one sign of maturity, one sign of perfection in your walk with God and in your growth is that you master how to control your tongue. He said, if we could control our tongue, we will be perfect and could also control our lives in every other way. So when you master the control of your tongue, you've mastered how to order your life. And even though this sounds like motivational speaking to some people, but it is not. People that use this as motivational speaking are actually copying the Bible, and they're copying the Bible wrongly. Because by the time you study for the final, it's not just saying anything that actually makes things work. If you know the right things to say, you will find out that your life will travel in a certain way, how God wants it to travel. It's one problem I'm talking about here now. And so one sign that you are growing spiritually is that you'll be able to master the use of your tongue. When there is a situation, one of the things that will show that you've matured spiritually is how you talk. When you get that rejection mail, how you speak will be a major sign that you are making spiritual progress. When things are not working well around you, how you speak. When you hear the bad news about people, how you speak. How you master your tongue will determine how your life will go. He said, if we could control our tongues, we will be perfect and could also control our lives in every other way. Are you following what I'm saying? And I'm sure that your life, your talk can affect your life, affect your marriage, affect your relationship, affect your relationship with people, even how you talk with people, how you interact with people. That whether your relationship will last long or it will be fine or not, it comes down to how you use your tongue. And Isaiah 50 and verse 4, the Bible says, Isaiah says, the Lord has given me the tongue of the learned. The Lord has given me the tongue of the learned. And I showed you that that word learned is from the Hebrew word limud. And limud simply means a disciple. So Isaiah is saying, the Lord has given me the tongue of a disciple. So like I said before, that is the tongue of a disciple. In other words, one major sign that God has discipled you is that your tongue is not just used anyhow. Are you following me? And so when I interact with Christians and I hear them talk, I can tell whether you've gone through training, whether you've passed through discipleship, or whether you skipped your classes. Are you following me, friends? I said, are you following me? Are you sleeping? Are you awake? Are you feeling cold? That would be very strange. If you're feeling cold, please let me pray for you. Amen. The tongue of the learned. The tongue of a disciple. There's a way a disciple talks. There's a way a disciple talks over situations, over his life, when things are good, when things are bad, when he's interacting with people. There's a way he talks. He doesn't just talk carelessly. Give me that Isaiah 50 verse 4 with New Living Translation. Isaiah 50 and verse 4 with New Living Translation. The Sovereign Lord has given me his words of wisdom. Okay. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I said glory to God. Okay, is that verse 4? Okay, well, give me his words of wisdom so that I know how to cover the way. Give me Amplified Classic. Amplified Classic. Quickly. The servant of God says, the Lord God has given me the tongue of a disciple and of one who is taught, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him his will. So when people use their words to talk people down, for instance, is a sign that their tongue has not been discipled. And so I looked at a lot of things, how that your tongue can affect your relationship with God, it can affect how you enjoy life, it can also affect your relationship with people. We're going to look at that on Thursday. And I want to see if I can tidy up this teaching today. In fact, I will tidy it up today. Amen. So, the major thing I want to address today, much later, is how you can actually control your tongue. But before we get there, I want to show you, I want to pick up from where I stopped on Thursday and touch on this. I didn't have time to address on Thursday. Because on Thursday, I was talking about how that your tongue can affect your relationship with people. This is going to be a service of wisdom and a service of power. That's what the Lord said to me. Wisdom and power. So get set for some wisdom this morning. Amen. So I was saying that your tongue can affect your relationship with people, you know, and all of that. And I stopped somewhere, and I want to pick up from there today. In James 1 verse 19, James gives a very serious instruction. He said we must be slow to wrath. But first of all, he said we must be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. And so when you are slow to speak, you will be slow to wrath. I want to talk briefly of just what I was saying on Thursday, the power of silence, the power of discretion. Many people have not learned the power of silence. How to keep quiet. How to keep quiet. That is the power of silence. Any man that uses his tongue carelessly is actually a fool. Anyone that doesn't know when to keep quiet and when to be silent, what to say and what not to say, is a sign that you are still a child. Even Ecclesiastes 3 verse 7 tells us that there is a time to speak and there is a time to be quiet. There is a time to be silent and there is a time to speak. There is a time where speaking becomes foolishness. And there is a time where speaking becomes foolishness. You know, Proverbs tells us, 17 and verse 28, put that one on the screen, tells us the fact that even a fool is considered wise when he's quiet. Even a fool is considered wise. Proverbs 17 verse 28. Even a fool is considered smart and wise if he can learn to be silent. But when you are careless with your words, you see, you appear to be very stupid. Even fools are thought wise when they keep silent. With their mouths shut, they seem intelligent. So there are seasons of life, there are situations that will just demand that you stay calm and don't just say anything and everything you want to say. But that is one thing that many people have not mastered, because you want to give your opinion about every matter. You want to talk about everything. Now, I'm not saying everybody must be a phlegmatic or a melancholy who knows how to keep quiet. I am saying everybody must be mature as to how they use their tongue. It is one sign that the word of God is working in your life. Are you following me? So silence can be wisdom. For instance, there are times that you shouldn't speak. There are times that you shouldn't speak. First of all, you shouldn't speak when you are not sure about anything. If there is something, there's a situation you are not very sure about, wisdom is not to speak concerning that matter. It's to not have an opinion about it. Are you following me, friends? When they are raising a topic about someone, for instance, say, do you know that this person did this and did that? And you are not very sure. You are not very certain. You've not confirmed it. You've not heard from the person. You've not heard from the both parties. Don't say anything. Because if you say anything at that point, you're going to get yourself into trouble. You see what I'm talking about, friends? You're going to say things that you will later begin to regret. And some of you can remember the times that you've said things about people, and later when you hear the other part of the story, you just say, I wish I had listened more. Has it ever happened to anybody here? You must learn to keep away and not very sure. And that's something I've mastered. If I'm not very sure, if I don't have the full details about any matter, I just keep short. So the Bible tells us in Proverbs 18 verse 2 with NLT. Give me that verse on the screen. Talks about how that fools have no interest in understanding. They only want to air their own opinions. That I want to tell you what I think. This is what I think. They don't even want to understand what is happening. They don't want to get the full gist. They just want to give their opinion. And I want you to listen to them. Everybody that is mature must learn that when you are not sure about any matter, when you don't have the full details over any situation, when you don't have the full answers, you keep quiet until you understand what actually is going on. And it's a sign of maturity. Is someone following me this morning? It's a sign that you're growing. It's a sign that you're making progress. It's one way to show that you know how to use your tongue very well. Another place where it's good to keep quiet and not to say too much is when you do not understand the subject correctly. I'm talking specifically now in the area of Bible teaching. If there is any area of Bible teaching, any area of the Bible, I'm talking to pastors, ministers, that you don't fully understand yet, please do not rush into that area and begin to talk. That's a good place to just be quiet. I can tell you the reason. Because trying to talk will create more confusion. People that have received half-baked knowledge have caused more trouble than people who are totally ignorant. I'll say that again. People that have half-baked knowledge. I gave an example the first time. Think of new creation realities. Someone just understands that our sins are forgiven. We are forgiven. We are eternally righteous. Now, he has said it. He doesn't understand it fully. Instead of him to stay with the basics that he had and just be sharing them with people, he wants to go into deeper things. He begins to say things like, sin is dead. That is nothing like sin. You know, those kind of things. He's delving into things he doesn't understand. If he could have just given a little more time to study, to pay attention to details, he'll be able to understand. But then he has started talking without having understanding. You know what? That is going to produce much more confusion. Normalize saying, I don't know this yet. But I'll find out and get back to you. Is someone following me this morning? Are you guys in church? Normalize saying, I don't understand this matter correctly. But I'll get back to you. Somebody is out there trying to prove, I'll give an example of the first service, the believers who have authority in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you, friends, that it's nothing like Satan. Satan doesn't exist. That's not actually correct. He has heard a message about believer's authority that doesn't fully understand. He begins to shout, there is no Satan anywhere. So, there is no Satan, but someone is actually dying. Are you getting what I'm saying now? The person says, there is no Satan. You know, a believer cannot be under affliction. That's not actually correct. A believer should not be under affliction, but a believer can be under affliction. As a matter of fact, James tells us, James 5 verse 13, is any afflicted, let him pray. He didn't say, is any afflicted, let him deny. Are you following me this morning? But because he doesn't really understand the things that he's hearing, he said, "Oh, I know the guy's finance is going down. He has gone from zero to from 100 to zero." But he's saying, "I'm just here. I know I cannot be afflicted, but you are being afflicted." The Bible never said to ignore the devil and he will flee. What did the Bible say? Resist the devil and he will flee. So what does he begin to do? He begins to resist, ignore the devil, because he had half-baked understanding of what we call new creation realities. I was giving an example in first service. People that say that people that preach universalism. Universalism is a message that says that, you know, God loves the world, he loves everybody, therefore nobody that God created can go to hell. Do you think that a God that loves people can throw them to hell? Everybody shouts no. That's crazy. The guy is trying to teach the love of God, but he has still understood it. Wisdom should tell you that God does not throw people to hell, but people go to hell. Because if I give you life and you reject life, by rejecting life, you've accepted death. I get what I'm saying. So if I try to teach the love of God and that's your basis for saying people cannot go to hell, well, another thing you don't understand about the love of God is that the Bible tells us, 1 Corinthians 13 verse 5, that love does not insist on its own way. So God cannot force people into heaven. So he leaves everybody an opportunity to make their choice. That's the part you are missing. So my counsel is, when you hear any matter, let me teach you something. Stay with the basics that you know. Explain it to people. Teach them how Jesus died for their sins and rose again for them. How he paid for that sin. Stay with that basic until you gain full understanding of the rest. And let me even tell you, one major way to show that you gain full understanding of a subject matter is that you can explain it very simply without using big English. Right? If you begin to go bit about the push right to explain a matter, you don't understand it. You know, the temerity of the superfluity of the ambiguity. That's what you're actually doing. Ambiguity is what they're doing. They are confusing us. And why you are employing all those big grammars? Because you don't actually understand it. If you understand it, just say it simply. Let's get it. And I told somebody once, I said, explain this to me like I'm in nursery 3. Imagine me, I'm a novice. Give it to me. And the person said, hello. The point is, there are portals, there are realms. I say, if you have entered portals and realms, you don't understand what you're saying. Because you're actually trying to tell me that what you're about to explain to me now, I will never understand it. And whose fault is it? My fault, because I've not accessed a certain portal. Do you know what I'm saying? Be very simple. So if there are matters you don't fully understand the Bible, you just stay quiet. If someone asks you, say, well, I don't really know, I'll ask somebody that knows. Is that too hard to say? Is it hard to say? I'll ask someone that knows. I tell you, it's been me. Oh, I don't know this matter. I can tell you, well, you go, let me look at it again and get back to you next week. It doesn't reduce you. Instead of opening your mouth to utter rubbish, because you just want to, you know what, you are fighting and defending your pride. So it don't look like I don't know, but you don't know. And explaining it wrong, it doesn't mean that you now know. You still don't know. In fact, in trying to explain it wrongly, you now expose your ignorance totally. Amen. So when there is a matter you don't understand, or when there is a subject in Bible study that you don't have to understand about, please just stay calm down. Stay with what you know. So what you know. Another time to keep silent, for instance, is when you have people's secrets. When you have people's personal secrets. Please keep quiet. Especially if you're a pastor, a minister, and you are privileged to handle people's personal details. That's a place you must totally stay silent. People should not tell you about their life and then they hear it from outside. Even if you are in a relationship with someone and you people break up and the guy was telling you everything about his life before you guys broke up, and because you feel you're now very hot and now angry, I was saying everything you told me. You're a very foolish child. You're a very foolish child. You're not wise. I follow what I'm saying. Give me Proverbs 25 verse 9 with NLT on the screen. Let's do it together like a mask. I need your voice to re-echo. Are you ready? Proverbs 25 verse 9. Let's go. When arguing with your neighbor, don't betray another person's secret. Get a partner now by your side. Tell the person, sister or brother. When arguing with your neighbor, Don't betray another person's secret.
Just because I just so pissed. You know, because it's not that another person told me that. Don't be like that. That's a place when you have people's secrets, keep short. There are things you die. And I was saying this in the first service. And it's something that God privileges me to have all the time. There are people being in this church, you are accountable to me. There are people that are accountable to me. Sometimes after 1 year or 2 years or 3 years, for some reason they feel they've fallen out with Pastor Henry, they don't like Pastor Henry again, and they go out and begin to say all sorts of things. It is still not allowed for me to now begin to say the things I know about them, because I know dangerous things about them that if I say, things they've not told anybody in their life, but they've told me, because at the time I was their pastor. You see what I'm talking about? And I know that if I bring those information, they can hurt them forever. But I still don't have the right to talk about it. There are things that should die with you. Are you following me, friends? They should die with you. It's one sign that you are growing. Imagine God begins to say everything you say to him. Now, you know what you tell God. And some that you don't tell him that he just knows. Imagine God begins to whisper that to everybody in church. You come to imagine one day God allows everybody to be able to see your heart and see every nonsense inside your heart. As I'm walking to everybody's looking at you. Imagine that's why any small thing you hear about people, once there's a problem, emotions are high, you argue with somebody, somebody even tell you this. After me, you've said things you shouldn't say. I know there are people that derive joy in trying to get people's secrets from you. Have you met those kind of people? They derive joy in trying to push you to say something about somebody. They will push you in certain ways. They will ask you and keep quiet to hear what they're going to say. Be wise. Stay quiet. That's when silence becomes golden.
Are you following me, friends?
See your talk. What do you have to say about it? I have nothing, no opinion about it. It's not my life.
Amen. I said amen.
Another time that is good for you to stay silent is when the conversation on ground is actually above you. I say this all the time. When the conversation on ground is above you, there are matters that people can be conversing about, or there are matters that can be on the table that are actually above you. You are not expected to have an opinion over such matters. And if you are close to me, I've practiced this for the longest of times. You're not expected to have an opinion over certain matters. This is what I think. Nobody's asking you. Sometimes there are two people that are way bigger than you, that don't even know you exist, are having issues. And somehow somebody brings it up and you say, this is what I think. Nobody actually wants to know what you think. If you've been around me, you can never hear that Bishop Edekpo and Pastor this is having an issue on Facebook and then I write a post about it. You can never see that. That's not the time to talk. I get what I'm saying. So start with, I don't even hear what I say. Some things that goes in there above you. Some things don't concern you. Somebody walks up to you and tells you, now, you are not a pastor. You're not even a minister. You're just a member in the church. And someone goes up to you and tells you, did you hear that, pastor? Maybe in a church where they pay pastors. Did you hear that, pastor, Cynthia Salad, they slashed her salary. Pastor slashed her salary. Now, what is your business on this matter? And I say, why did they slash her salary? They say the message she preached last week was not powerful. You say, but me, I was blessed by that message. I don't know whether there is more. There is more. That's something they're not telling us. That is not your business. Is it your salary? Are you even a pastor? What's your concern? There are matters that come up that are just above you. So just let them be. And that will take me to the next thing. When a believer falls into sin, that is a good place to keep silent. That's not a place to begin to discuss the matter with other people. Now, please, that is a good place to stay calm, stay silent. Now, that was David writing in 2 Samuel chapter 1. He said, tell it not in Gath. What is he talking about? Saul was just killed. And David announced, 2 Samuel 1 verse 20, tell it not in Gath, publish it not in the street of Ashkelon, lest the daughters of the Philistines will rejoice. So there are things that will go wrong with a believer. You don't announce it, you don't discuss it, because once you begin to discuss it, it will make unbelievers begin to celebrate. Are you guys what I'm talking about? Now, I've learned this thing, and I thank my God, because from early as a Christian, I was privileged to get to know certain things about ministers, big ministers that if I mention, internet will shake. But I kind of feel the Lord was using those things to test my heart. Everything is done for conversation. What are you discussing it? What of prayer? Have you prayed? Now, I am not saying when a believer makes mistake, we ignore it. The Bible never teaches to ignore sin. Okay? Sin should be dealt with. Sin should be confronted. Listen, there's nothing wrong with talking about a believer's sin. The first question is, who are you talking to? And why are you saying it? I'll give an example. I did this first service. Now, we know in 1 Corinthians about a certain brother who was having an affair with a father's wife. You remember that story? Now, Paul wrote to the church about it. How did Paul know about it? He knew because somebody told him. In 1 Corinthians 5 verse 1, he told them, it is reported among you. Freedom. It is reported among you. So, was it who told him? I don't know. But I can even tell you in chapter 7 verse 1, they wrote him a letter. He said, concerning the letter that you wrote to me. Come on, 7 verse 1. Concerning the letter that you wrote to me, I'm now replying. So, things are going on in the church. They wrote to Paul. Why they wrote to Paul? Why they write to Paul? He was the one in the position to address the matter. Now, at that point, that's not gossip. Are you what I'm talking about? So, you notice there's a particular brother or sister in church who is just going. You can say, Pastor, have you noticed that this is happening? Please talk to him. That's a different matter. But where someone has an issue, we begin to discuss. You know the problem with the body of Christ? We Christians love mercy. They love grace. But they lack it. They just want to receive it. But they don't have it. If you are the one that has made a mistake, you know your mistakes. You want us to show you some mercy. You want us to know that you are still a work in progress. Don't write me off yet. I'm a work in progress. I'm still growing. And I'm getting better. Don't judge me by my past, because my present is better. My future is great. Now, when it's someone else's issue, I hope you don't judge them by their past to know that their future is also great. Don't just love those motivational talk when it's about another person or when it's about you. I'm still a work in progress. That brother is still a work in progress too. You didn't realize I'm getting better every day. He too. Everything you think, the problem is once it comes to you, you want us to treat you with grace that you don't have. So we are grace preachers who are not gracious. Are you following me this afternoon? Grace preachers who are not gracious. You've made your home or your phone a point of gossip talking about believers. I wish one day MTN can allow us to hear everything you discuss on the phone. Amen. There are places you just stay quiet. What do you think about yourself? I know I was saying in the first service, one of the greatest things that used to pain me, the greatest pain I used to have when they're talking about believers' sins or a believer's mistake, is this phrase, I knew. I hate it. Because if actually you knew, see, did you hear that he stole the money? I knew it. You knew it. Now, if actually you knew it, then you're a bad person. Because if actually you knew that he was going to do that, it means God lets you know it to be able to do something about it. But then you eventually knew and you did nothing about it. You just want to gloat. I want to say this by the Holy Ghost. Don't ever gloat over anybody's sin. Listen, there are people in this church, people in this place that I have given direct instructions over matters. And they flaunt those instructions. And they are suffering the consequences of those instructions. What I should never do is to gloat over it. Say, did I not warn you? Did I not warn you? No. So why am I happy
that my warning eventually came to pass?
I don't know what was the excitement. Say, did I not warn you? I'm not going to cry and I warned you. No. It's not for growth. It's not for you to brag. It's not even a topic of competition. Why not begin to pray? Why not begin to pray for the person? And if you cannot talk to God about the person, at least don't say anything.
Are you still here, friends?
The same grace you demand, give it. Amen. He leaves the 99 to follow one. Does not make sense. Except you are the one. If you are the one that leaves 99 to follow, you will now love it. But if another person says, no, that brother, if I've been following him, I'll leave that one. But if it is you that follow him, it makes all the sense. If you want grace, give it. If you want mercy, give it.
Did you hear what I'm talking about here now?
Even in your words. So, let me teach you this. Normalize this. Sir, did you hear that? So, after that, what do you think? I don't think anything. What do you have to say? I don't have to say anything. Say, that's why I don't like you. You always claim holier than thou. And you tell them, that's why you should stop talking to me about those things. Have you not observed I don't have an opinion? Why are you talking to someone who doesn't have an opinion over a matter? Stop telling me. And that's actually me. And I was talking about a few minutes ago about matters that are above you. The man of God said he went to church many years ago. Went to Christ Embassy. And Pastor Chris called someone and disciplined the person, a leader, with everybody. Called the person, stood the person, corrected the person, sharply gave him a sharp rebuke. And I think suspended him. And I said, as he was going home, his friend asked him, this is that Pastor Chris did today. What do you think? I told him, I don't understand. But he said, I don't think anything. He said, wait, let's face fact. I know that as believers are not meant, but let's face reality. What do you really think? He said, in reality, I don't think anything. Because I am not permitted to think anything. That's a situation to learn from. That's a correction to learn from. And not an opportunity to analyze the action of the man to know whether he's right or wrong. You miss the lesson. Is someone following me this morning? Then our place is just stay quiet. Silence can be golden. Not every time, but in some cases, just keep quiet. So what do you think about how they shouted at that brother? I don't know. What do I think? First of all, most times when you begin to talk, you don't even know the background. You don't even know why they shouted. You say, but they should have corrected him privately. Do you know how many times they've corrected him privately? There are people you've corrected privately for more than 50 times. And the person says, because you are not there in the private, you are correcting the person. So why do you want to have an opinion about it?
Amen. Shout a big amen. Give me three amen, three amen. Glory to God. So, that's when to keep calm.
And apart from silence, there are also places in your life that you must learn to practice discretion. By discretion, I mean putting up an attitude speaking in a certain way to avoid revealing confidential information is one major sign that you're a mature person. For instance, in issues concerning your visions and your plans, your dreams, you must be very discreet with them. If you understand the sound of my voice and anything that God puts your heart to do, before we say Jack Robinson, the whole world have heard it, the chances are, let me ask you, check the last 5 things you wanted to do that you discussed with everybody before it came to your mind. You've not done even one now. And you know the problem? You are speaking too quickly. Somebody shout amen. And it's not about, you know, when you tell them, they'll go and do jazz for you. That's not a matter. But even that one day too. Well, let's leave it. Don't say that one day. That one day. Ordinary, I love you. You are dealing with someone. Because we want to pepper whoever you're putting it on your face. Say, waiting, loading. They've not proposed to you. You must learn when you have plans. please do not be in a hurry to begin to announce to everybody this is what I want to do. That was, I believe, is the problem of Joseph. Joseph, you had a dream where your brothers are bowing down to you, and you told them, in all sincerity, forget that we are reading it in the Bible, what were you expecting Joseph's brothers to do? To say, okay, we will bow to you. Is that it? You know, we are all human. Forget that you are now doing born again. Your last born, what I'm saying is, in my dream, I had a big company. All of you are my employees. And you expect that they will just say, okay, in all humility, we will serve you. They won't do that. But eventually, when it happened, did they serve him? Yes. What does that tell you? You should have talked about the matter as at then. And I believe this applies in everything. That's why I normally tell some of you, small relationship you enter, they are talking to everybody about it, please calm down. Wisdom should tell you there is a time when things should stay with you. There is a time when your plans should stay with you. You know what is why the things you say to people eventually does not happen? Because you say them too quickly. Think about this. I gave an example in first service. So, you want to build a massive company. A company that will be a garlic processing company. That will be distributing to the whole of West Africa. And the budget is all about something of 50-something million. Now, God just dropped this idea in your head. The reality is that idea came because you just finished drinking garlic. To show you how broke you are, you just finished drinking garlic and God dropped the idea in your head that you know you can actually start up a garlic processing company. And you say, okay. And then, while you are still trying to believe that it's even possible, you are sharing with your friend who you just finished drinking garlic with. Let me tell you what the person is going to laugh. Because he wished to laugh. So you have 50 million naira with a drink garlic. So now, once the person laughs, you say, you begin to laugh at how stupid the things you said are. Eventually, those things will not happen. If you have just taken time to nurse those things, nurture it in your heart, pray over it until the conviction is formed very strongly. Even if 10 people laugh at it, it will not shake you. Well, because you're just in a hurry, say, when something going to start, we'll have a branch. You could check Nonya Archibald, say, this guy, do you want more garlic? This one, you want to open garlic processing plants. Do you want more garlic? Is that what you want? So men will talk about it. Just I was giving an example in first service. We are taking Zoe to a very big facility this year. Will you be there? The base event center, we're going to be there. Now, when God dropped the plan, the capacity of meeting what was to do for Zoe, millions of naira, tens of billions of naira. When he dropped that in my head, the church did not even have anything close to 10% of that. Now, if I had just come out to tell one of the pastors, you know, I'm just thinking of, what do you think? Should we do? Every logical person will say, sir, well, if you ask me, I will say, let's push it to next year and now sit down and plan properly and begin to save towards it and maybe start up a business, invest it. Now, that's not a bad thing to say. But that's what God wanted us to do. So when that dropped in my head, I had to process it and pray over it till when it was time to share it. I shared it with my wife first. From there, shared it with the lead, with the minister, the pastors, the ministers, and gradually everybody was able to carry it. But you, God, you just came to your mind to start a school. You created a Facebook account for the school. Huh? His Grace Montessori Schools. What is Montessori? Yes, His Grace Montessori Schools. British curriculum. Do you even know what you're talking about? Just crazy things that are coming to heart. Learn from Mary. Everything that happened around Jesus, Mary hid all these things in her heart. And thank God she did. Imagine immediately Mary had that vision. She began to tell people, as I'm talking to you now, take selfie. Pregnant with the Messiah. That matter was so secret that even Herod, even when he knew a child was born, he didn't know who the child was. Because they didn't tell anybody. They didn't tell anybody. Pregnant with the Messiah. Then he gave it, they just born in the Messiah right now. I just born Messiah, man. Call me Mommy Messiah. Imagine that. And then Herod will say, okay, just comment on the post, congratulations, ma. He's coming to get you where you are. But Luke 2, I think verse 19 or so, Mary hid all these things in her heart. Mary hid all these things in her heart. The wise men brought gifts to Jesus. Mary hid all. She didn't explain to everybody. And she was pondering over them. Part of the reason why she hid it in her heart was she didn't actually understand everything that was happening. But then she just kept it in her heart. Do not be in a hurry to begin to tell people all the things you want to do, all things you want to achieve, how you want to do this, how you want to pay. All of those things you are saying are not necessary now. When Nehemiah came to rebuild the walls of the temple, Nehemiah 2 verse 11, give me on the screen. He arrived in the night, you know, he spent 3 days in the land. In verse 12, he said, at that time, he had not discussed that plan with anybody. And that was very instructive. I arose in the night, I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. If you go to verse 16, he repeated it again. I have not told anybody. The rulers knew not whither I went or what I did. Neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests. I have not mentioned it to anybody. There are things you don't begin to talk to people about. At first, let it stay with you first. Are you getting what I'm talking about? Let it stay with you first. Not the dream. You want to open a shop, a tailoring shop. You are already telling everybody. You haven't even bought your first machine. I tell everybody, think of all the things that came to your mind to do. You are not yet doing them yet. Okay? Say, I'm opening. What was that music service? Noel's Teaches. The next week, Noel's Teaches, Ada Barokwa. A mass teaches. And just play with your life. Eventually, you won't even open nothing. Because Noel doesn't even want to be a teller. Because to start with, maybe. You know, there are things that drop your mind and it's not even actually vision. It's just your mind playing with you. You have to give it some time to be sure that it's actually a vision from God. Because for real, sometimes you can finish drinking Gary and you're wondering, can't I start selling Gary to everybody now? That's not a vision from God. That's a vision from hunger. Or if I form an association of hungry people and we go to the other coming to your head, it's just hunger is dealing with you. We are just in a hurry to talk and nobody's actually going to take you serious. I'll tell you the next thing you should not say very quickly. You see, when your testimonies are budding, when they're still budding, don't announce it too quickly. When things are still opening up gradually, that's why you must have support systems. Not everybody there say, they've sent it. I'm getting a job. They just told you, come tomorrow, let's talk about it. You've told everybody they're getting a job. What if you don't get it? They are processing your travel plans. They've invited you for the first interview. They've sent your visa interview and all that. You've not even gone. They are telling people, I'm traveling. They say, will you be around for so long? So, well, I would have loved to be there. Just by then, I would no longer be in this country. They're talking too quickly, sir. What you don't know is that you might be here for so long in the next 5 years. Because you are speaking too quickly. I know the problem when you talk like that. Let me even teach you something. Sometimes disappointments are easier to bear if you're the only one that has the knowledge and information. Now, if I'm planning to travel now, but people don't know. If I'm working out my papers to Japan now, to Switzerland, I will just be in church preaching every Sunday. Now, if eventually it doesn't work, well, you're not going to pay me. I'll just cry in my heart and say, all the money I spent. But imagine I've told all of you. This is my last message to you guys. Because at exactly 3:59 on Thursday, I'll be gone. Imagine if I don't travel that day, how will I come to church? But how will you come to church that day? Just sit down at home and say, no, I don't want to go. And I know somebody actually happened. I'll travel. She couldn't even write jump again when the team failed. Because she couldn't afford her friends seeing her in universities, asking her, you did not go again. When God is still working it out, keep calm. Discuss with people that can pray. Are you following what I'm saying now? People that can pray. Learn again from Mary. When the angel came to Mary and said, you are going to carry a baby and all of that, the angel referred her to Elizabeth. Because I know at this time, Mary will be doubting all of these things. This is not the time to begin to talk about this baby matter with people who will tell you it's not possible. But imagine Mary going to calling the mommy and say, "Mommy, can I confide in you? God said I'm going to have children without sexual intercourse." The mother will say, "Child, I was telling yourself to come and marry you all the while. Don't worry, my daughter. Marriage will come. Children will come." Oh, they will think she's sick. So the angel said, "Go and meet your cousin Elizabeth. For currently, she's heavy with a child." Because Elizabeth has seen, has tested of that kind of miracle. Meeting with Elizabeth stirred up faith in the heart of Mary. It's not everything you go and tell everybody. There are people that need to hear you. When you hear them and they hear you, you will believe much more. But you, things are still burning. Still getting, you just begin telling everybody, "Tomorrow I'll be leaving. Tomorrow I don't jackpot. This one. I'm buying a new car. Don't worry, by next month, my car will be here." What if your car doesn't come next month? And that's why it's difficult for us to now, when that happens, even to believe God again becomes hard. Because you're not only dealing with your heart, you're dealing with everybody you've told. Discretion. Are you following me, friends? Discretion. If you're around me, I can be planning something around you. You will not know what I am planning until you see it. But let me even tell you, anything you know about me, I actually wanted you to know. If I don't want you to know, you will never know. And that's not because I'm a secretive person. That's because you don't need a bunch of anything. Our generation is crazy. Very crazy. Everything on social media. Someone gets pregnant the first day. He's doing day one of, or week one of 40 weeks. You are now seeing your pregnancy. But it's not about whether they will do you jazz or anything. It's just because you are very stupid. That's what I'm trying to say. And it is for views. For money. You know it's for money. And then when the baby eventually comes, you are using your baby to do content. Let me not open your mouth at all. Let me teach you. Gen Z mothers, allow your child to grow like a normal child. Make money. Stop using your child to hustle. Why is your child to hustle? Say, listen to create content. Because you know, once they put a baby's face, it will generate views. So you're exposing your child too quickly. I hope you know the consequence of that. And I hope you're ready to fight the battles that will come with that. Let me not say more than that. I hope when this starts happening, you'll be able to fight. Children are dying untimely, facing battles they shouldn't have faced, getting exposed to things they shouldn't have gotten exposed to, targeted by people that should not have even known that they exist because they're all out on social media. Who are you trying to impress? Want your children to make money. You failed at your hustle as a young man, and you think your children will be able to bail you out of your poverty. When did miracle is it developing? Just keep it to yourself. Talk to people that can stay, people like Elizabeth. Do you have an Elizabeth in your life? A pastor, a mentor, a friend that can stay with you in prayer. Say, "Dad, they just sent me the mail that tomorrow we are going to meet to have the final conversation over this contract. Just pray with me." It's enough. Don't go to the beer parlor and start drinking. And say, "I'm going to drink 10 bottles on credit. Tomorrow I will come and see you. Because tomorrow they are paying me the contract money." Yes, sir. Are you what I'm saying? Are you following me, friends? And so, maybe one other thing to add is your challenges. Do not be very discreet of challenges. Now, you know the thing about challenges and problems? Everybody has them. Are you aware? We are all just pretending that we don't have them, but everybody has problems. So why should your own be on social media? Why should your own be told to everybody? Now, the Bible doesn't teach that you should keep your problems secret. It's not in the Bible. The Bible teaches that you should actually share your problems. But what the Bible does not teach is that you should share a problem with every human being on earth. That's why one of the most confused people on earth is anybody that has many, many men of God that he follows and he talks to. He's going to have a lot of problems. Because you're talking to everybody about your problem. Somebody just meeting for the first time because he preached so powerfully. He said, "Can I confide in you?" Please stop confiding in people like that. And I was saying in the first service, all this talk of sometimes it's a lot comfortable to talk to strangers. Please let it not be. But for it, have you ever felt it's easier to talk to strangers? Huh? Okay. If you feel that way, you don't have good friends in your life. You don't have good mentors. You don't have good relationships. It is very uncomfortable to talk to a stranger. I've not even finished talking to myself. Do you know how many things I'm keeping from myself? Like many things I've not told myself. Even me, I'm not aware of something that I should have told myself. Now, stranger? No, now. Do you know how long I've known myself? Yet I can't tell myself everything. I just meet on the road. And sometimes I see this happen. Sometimes you get into a bank. I was in a, somebody had told me his life story. Now, not as a man of God. As a boss neighbor. Neighbor in the boss. It's a child. I said, what is it? I said, let me tell you in this life.
Real life story.
There is one person that God has created for you to love. If you miss that person, you can never find love again. And I was thinking, where is this coming from? What was happening? And he told me, he said, that him, he found his own person. And then he messed up the relationship. And that's why now he's not looking for love. That he just been sleeping with every girl in the bush. Because he knows he can never find love again. He began to gist me about, and Jesus Christ, I did not need information. I know the problem. I thought maybe God brought this guy so that I can talk. So I tried talking to him. I was like, you know what? You know, God can. He said, wait, I'm not saying it for you to say it. I'm just telling you my life. So, it's not like he was thinking for counseling. He just wanted me to hear what he was passing through. And he told me that. I wish he had a friend. I wish he had a church. I wish he had a pastor he could talk to because he was actually very sick. You know he's sick. You know, okay, let me say that. You know he's mad. Like he has mental problem. Are you aware? You know that many categories of mental problem. Just that one is just one side. How come a man you've not met, don't know from anywhere, you're telling him your life story? People have their own problems. Let your own not be the one that is on social media. Don't be the one telling others about your own problem. Have people support systems, friends. Support systems that you can share your matters with and they will stay with you in prayer and pray it through. Elizabeth. Are you following me, friends? Are you following me? Elizabeth. That's God can say, well, you are going to carry a baby, Mary. But I know you might doubt me. Visit Elizabeth. And if you see Elizabeth, and look at it, immediately Mary saw Elizabeth. Immediately she saw her. Elizabeth began to prophesy. Say, behold the mother of my Lord. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because she already understands that vision. There are people you should share things with. They already understand. Are you getting me, friends? Like, when you are done talking with them, in fact, you are keeping the vision at 30, but they have pushed it to about 100. Do you have such people in your life, friends? That's people you talk to. So, in learning the power of the tongue, we must learn that we don't say everything. So, we don't ruin things. So, we are passing through challenges, hold them. And quickly, let me take you through how to control your tongue. How to control your tongue. Because I told you earlier, any message that does not have how is an incomplete message. Any message that just has why and what, but does not have how is an incomplete message. What is prayer? Prayer is to commune with God, to stay in fellowship and wait upon the Lord for 4 hours. If we do not have how a baby Christian can grow from that point to where he can wait upon the Lord for 4 hours, that's not a complete message. Because at the end of the day, you've created passion and desire in our hearts, but we actually don't know how to get there. Are you what I'm talking about? So, that is how you control your tongue. Number one, feed your heart with the right things. Feed your heart with the right things. The heart is the source of everything you're going to say. The heart is the source of everything you're going to say. Proverbs, Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34. Give me on the screen. Matthew 12 and verse 34. He said, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? Read with me, everybody. Come on. Add your voices. Read with me. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so your heart is actually where words are formed. Your tongue is just a way those words are expressed. And so, if you take in so much carnality into your system, when you speak, you will speak forth carnality. That's why, what do you watch? What do you listen to? What do you pay attention to? Because whether you like it or not, things are gaining entrance into your heart. And can I say to you, those things entering your heart are the things you will eventually say. Let me tell you this. The reason why, once you get a medical report that is bad, just say, from what I see here, your liver is dead. What comes to mind is, Jesus Christ, I'm finished. You've been feeding on doubt for a very long time. And when it was time to talk, doubt came out. Are you following me, friends? Someone annoys you on the road. Maybe you're driving, and the driver just does something. You say, go better for you. You've been feeding on those kind of things too much. Sometimes it's actually when you are done saying that you now remember yourself. Like, how did I even say that? You are sick and you feel one kind of excruciating pain. And the first thing that pops from your mouth is, you've been feeding on doubt for so long. Look at that. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so that's why we talk about feeding on the word of God. Listening to God's word. Reading the word. Eating the word. Like, give an example in the first service. When someone is sick and wants to throw up, you are eventually going to throw up what you ate. You know, even if you are some of those people in primary school, I used to brag, in my house, we don't eat curry. We eat only fried egg and indomie. You guys really eat like swallow. Now, when you are sick and you want to throw up, it's not what you wish that will come out. You see that act, it will show. Because it is what entered your system that will eventually come out. It's all following me this morning. It will show. And that's why you might make up your mind, from now I'll start speaking the right words. It doesn't just work like that. What have you been taking into your system? When the emotions are high, what will show forth are the things that filled your heart. When you get that rejection mail, what will show forth are the things that filled your heart. When you pray for someone to be healed and the person doesn't get healed, what you say is what has filled your heart. Of the abundance of the heart, give me verse 35. The mouth speaks. A good man, out of the good treasure of the heart, bringeth forth good things. An evil man, out of the evil treasure, bringeth forth evil things. As simple as that. So you're always insulting people. It's because you either watch too much comedy where they insult people. Have you observed that there are things you keep watching, your vocabulary of insults keeps increasing? You have new words added to your insults every day. And if you're like that, please, there are things you should stop watching from now. There are music you stop listening to. The reason why you can carelessly use the F word and any other vulgar word, it just comes out just easily like that, are the things you've been paying attention to. There are things you shut your ear to. There are things you don't, and that's why there are conversations you don't even hold. Because if you keep talking about something and you are listening to those things, it's entering your heart. And when it's time to talk, you will voice out those things that have filled up your heart. Amen. That's why you see, when I mentioned about spiritual growth, when you get a bad medical report, what will come out will show whether you've been feeding on faith or been feeding on fear and doubt. When your wife annoys you and steps on your toes so badly, what will come out will show whether you've been filling your heart with the love of God or whether you've been feeding on every rubbish. Say, let me tell you, I will not even take that from you. I will show you the other side of me. So you have other sides. Why didn't you tell your wife other sides before you married her? I will show you my true color. So what have you been showing? Those things are coming because you filled your heart with so much hate. That's why if you can stay on the word of God, eat the word of God, digest the word of God, fill your heart with God's word, that's what will show forth when the need arises. Get your Bible. read your Bible. Let me teach you this. Read. Now, I teach studying the Bible, but let me teach you this. Sometimes, without Greek or Hebrew, just read your Bible. You know something happens as you are reading your Bible to yourself. That's why sometimes I say, that's why I don't always allow everything to appear on the screen, so that I can open your Bible and read it by myself. Read your Bible. Romans chapter 1. You are reading it. Chapter 2. Something is happening to you. What you are filling your heart with. You may not even know what is happening, but when the situation arises, that's why sometimes you are about to do spiritual warfare. Something is going wrong around you. 10 minutes you are done because you don't even know the next scripture to quote. We call you forth to come and prophesy. Come here, give us a word. You first say, Shakala Baragada, light is coming. Light is coming. Expansion, light, illumination. You don't know what else to say. Why don't you know what else to say? Say that God did not give me any word. Not exactly. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you. Then you'll be able to speak to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So you want to flow in the prophetic. Fill your heart with the word. It will show. You get the point? I like kid you, I can stand here prophesying for 1 hour. And the words will keep. Once I just get the direction of God, where God wants me to go, once those words keep coming, I have more than 20 vocabularies to express it. Yes. Because it's when you fill your heart with the word, when it's time for you to talk, God's word will gain expression. But you see, we are either talking too much football, or you are talking too much music, or you are talking too much jargon, you are talking too much politics. Now, I know a few things about politics. At least I know that Donald Trump won election. But I don't really know if you. I know plenty about politics. I can actually keep you, boost you on politics, and you'll be blessed. But you don't listen to some things too much. I don't listen to news too much. If I ever put on a news channel in my house, that is if I just need to hear that news, well, just once and remove it. What are you doing with all of those every day? Because if you fill your head with too much news, and it gets saved, but we have to be informed. The news is not there to keep you informed. It's there to let you know about the bad things happening around you. Don't forget it, and I told you. In journalism, good news is bad news. Bad news is good news. That's why if a church does a crusade and 1,000 persons get saved, it doesn't make it to the media. If a church does a crusade and one person dies during stampede, you get to the media. The news is there to give you bad news and not good news. So, do you need information? Yes, but please don't feed on it too much. The two God's word said, and everybody that went to his house said, he said a newspaper, National Dailies, never made it into his house. He never read it for once. Letter Samuel said, the first day he saw me to God's word, he came into his house, was holding newspaper. And he just says, what's that in your hand? He says, National Dailies. He said, no, keep it. It can't make it to this house. See, you don't need all those things. The only thing I read is the word of God. And you wonder why that man put so much power? You want to master how to talk. Take charge of your heart. Mind what goes in there. Mind what stays in there. Get the teaching on raging warfare. Do you remember raging warfare? Listen to it and soak that message in. That's why we teach you things like listen to a message every day. Read your Bible every day. Come to church. And when you go to church, what are you hearing? What are they preaching where you are? Condemnation, because if you feel hard with condemnation, when a believer sins, what's the first thing that will come out of you? Condemnation. You know why there are people that when a believer makes mistakes, they say, God forbid. People are just, it's just because they've taken in so much condemnation into their hearts. So that's the easiest thing that gets expression. Is someone getting blessed this morning? The second thing to control how you speak is be deliberate with your confessions. What I mean is set a routine around your confession. 6:45 every morning, I'm going to wake up and declare the word. What do you declare? Declare the word. We have a document. Get that document. And it's free. 50 days of declaring God's word. Download it. Every day. Day one. You speak loud. Things are working in my favor. Life is turning around. Let me tell you what is happening when you are speaking the word. When you are speaking the word, not only is it causing things to change, you are hearing what you are saying. So actually, the things that come from your mouth, guess where it returns back to? It returns to your heart. Because when you say it, your ears will hear it and you take it in again. Are you following me this afternoon, everybody? You release it. It goes to the situation. But then it comes back to you. That's why if you keep saying negative things, it comes back to you too. Oh, there's no job in Nigeria. You've not just released words that will make sure there are no jobs for you. You've also released words that will get back into your heart to stay, informing you again and again that there is no job in Nigeria. Are you listening to me, friends? So you set routine around the word of God. Every morning, every day, I declare in the word, things are turning around for my good. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You can, as you are saying those things now, any believer does have a routine around confession. Actually, he's not a serious Christian. But have a strong routine around your confession. Every day. Don't declare the word anytime you remember it. I mean, have a routine around it. Yes, declare the word anytime you remember, but have a routine around it. Set your alarm. 6:35 a.m. It's time to speak the word. And you get up and begin to declare God's word. You are speaking things, you are hearing those things. You speak, oh, that is safety, my brothers. And of Benjamin he said, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety. He that dwelt in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I'm saying of my Lord, he is my God. He is hiding me under his pavilion. You know, after saying this thing, for long, for like 10 minutes in the morning, you step out, and then a car is just about to hit you. The first thing that will pop out will not be, and one more, it won't come out. You see those words that you've spoken? I agree what I'm saying. You just jump back. Glory to God, he hides me under his pavilion. So what if I don't remember? You can, don't worry, just, if you take in so much of the word, that's what will come out. Hallelujah. There was a time I taught you guys to normalize saying things like, nothing goes wrong with Jesus. Do you still remember that statement? Nothing goes wrong. So when they give you a bad report at work, and you've been taking in God's word so much, you say, nothing goes wrong with Jesus. Fill your heart with God's word. Do, both by reading, by studying, and by saying it. Welcome every day, press around and declare the word. And number three, hallelujah. Number three thing you have to do to take control of your tongue is to learn, I won't say much about this, I'll address it on Thursday, learn to listen more than you speak. Learn to listen more than you speak. And this is basically about human relationships here. When you hear this about people, just listen. The Bible said slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to speak. And that will take me to the last point where I'm going to close. You want to learn to master your tongue. Learn the principle of delaying your responses. This is one of the greatest lessons God taught me last year. The principle of delaying, no, last 2 years rather, delaying your responses. Most times you say the wrong things because in the face of a challenge, for instance, you just say things. They just give you a medical report. From what I see here, your left eye will not function again in the next 3 months. Jesus Christ, what did I do to anybody? That's the problem. Before you say anything, just calm down. The Bible said, be still and know that I am God. If you are still, you can hear God. If you keep calm, you can hear God in the storm. So, instead of maybe they tell you, you know what is happening right now? Someone just arrested, the person just died. Instead of saying, Jesus Christ, what kind of life is this? Calm down for some seconds. But it's when you calm down that you can actually hear God very well. Moses and the Israelites go to the Red Sea. It was time to pass. They were shouting, and Moses told them, be still, and you shall see the salvation of the Lord today. Be still. Learn to just keep quiet. Some time. Delay your response. What I'm telling you, accept me in 8 minutes of my life. When you come to me and tell me, you know, this brother, he impregnated 16 people. Before I just give you my response of, are you serious? What kind of stupid boy is that? I'll just keep quiet for some time. That helps me to get the right perspective of the matter. It's when you now keep quiet that you now find out that this person, first of all, could be lying. He could be making up those stories. You now begin to think, how can this brother possibly do this? 16 people. You begin to calculate. There is more to this story. What if this is not true? But without that silence, you say, that guy is very, very stupid. And now, when the madhan or every time the problem is you've not calmed down. You just get a rejection mail. Sorry, this job you applied for, we can no longer take you. We can't take. What do you do? Just jump and say, hey, they didn't take you. You now begin to take your friend. Did they take you? And I'll tell you the first service. One person may say yes. You now begin to feel bad. What if you calm down? A lot of things could happen when you calm down. God could tell you. Okay, let me give an example. I give in the first service. You get a mail. We are downsizing. So we have sacked you. However they put it. Well, that's the point I'm trying to make. They've sacked you. You're no longer working with us. And you just begin to cry and begin to tell everybody, what if you calm down? A few things will happen. You go calm down and the Lord will tell you, I gave you that job. So nobody can take a job that I gave you. Ah! You now jump up. My job cannot be lost. He preserves my lot. Nothing of mine shall be stolen or broken. Now, you could also calm down. And while you just calm, you just hear the Lord will say, don't worry, a better job is going to come. It's all following me this morning. You now jump up and say, glory to God, a better job is coming. But the problem, you don't have that patience. Once the thing happens, you are saying your mind, and I can almost swear you will say the wrong things. Amen. Your wife annoys you, does something bad, and you are quick to respond. Immediately, be still. When you have done something, just, wow, what kind of stupid, could maybe just come back and then things are not just scattered. Where is this mad woman that I married? You don't realize when you talk like that, you are also insulting yourself. Because you are so stupid to marry a mad woman. It means you have poor decision making. It means you're not a wise person. It means you're a foolish person. It means you're an idiot. It means your sense of judgment is poor. It means you don't know how to decide things very well. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, let me tell you what it has to leave me. Every time you are insulting your wife or your husband, remember it was a choice you made. So you are insulting your sense of judgment. It means you're a foolish person. What kind of stupid, which stupid person kept this thing here? The stupid person you married. Out of all the 4 billion ladies in this world, you were foolish enough to choose this stupid person to be messing your house up. If you just give this a deep thought, God will just say, remove that cup. And you know, he wants to talk about everything. You can't keep it in the kitchen. I get what I'm saying. Or just say, ah, babe, it's like you forgot this cup here. Because sometimes the person really forgot. But no, you've not learned how to be still. You want to say it as it is hot. Stop talking as it is hot. Delay your response. Be still and know that I am God. Be still so that you can hear what God wants you to say at this situation. Calm down so that you can hear exactly what God wants you to utter. Sometimes he wants you to say nothing. Sometimes he wants you to say the right things. Be still. I gave this example and I'll share this story and we'll close. A couple of years back, we came here. That was like, is it 1 or 2 years ago now? That should be 2 or 3 years ago. Things were not as it is now, financially and all. So we came here, we got a generator, not up to 2 or 3 months. And then we came here 1 Monday like that. And they said they have stolen the generator. I was at home in my house and I got the call. Jen, missing. You know, I said, okay, have you guys looked everywhere? They said yes. I was pained. I was pained because I had given instructions earlier that would avoid that thing from happening. But it was not obeyed. It was not followed. So, a lot of things rushed through my mind. Now, but I didn't say anything. I just ended the call. And they were waiting for me to react. I'm sure all the ministers, they were checking their chats. Will pastor say we're having a meeting right away? I just kept quiet. The whole night passed. Whole Tuesday, I didn't say anything about it. Because I was just calm. trying to see what God will have me say. Habakkuk said, I will sit on my watch to hear what he will say to me. There are times you just want to hear. Now, imagine I had just gone that way. Now, first of all, everybody in the technical team, all of you are fired right now. In fact, the way our gen was stolen, your generation shall be stolen. These are pastors begin to curse their members. And the people that stole that gen, your things will keep missing. I said, your wedding day, your wife will miss. Where are all those things coming from? Because you have been, you know when you are pained, you can say some things you never expected that you can ever say in your life. Your wife will be missing on your wedding day. In fact, if I be a man of God, they will not see your corpse on your burial. You just have to coin many things because you are pained. If you could practice what I taught you on Thursday, bless, not curse. If you can bless and not curse, then you must learn to calm down. Be still. Delay your response. So I didn't do anything Monday, Tuesday. By Wednesday, the Lord just said, correct what needs to be corrected. Call a meeting. I'll give you a gen before Thursday service the next day. I called a meeting before Thursday service. Another gen was here. Without having to insult or talk down or destroy anybody. And you don't know how big a testimony this is, because maybe because you're around, like, maybe we have money now. That time it was terrible. It took all the faith we had to get that first gen. You guys remember now, when we were declaring our generator, he's saying the name of Jesus. So imagine after 2 months, after your faith has... All you need to do is to just be still for a moment. Be still for a moment. To hear what he will say to you. Psalm 43 verse 19. Play this song. The angels bow down. Psalm 43 verse 19. Ooh. Sorry, 46 verse 10 rather. 46 verse 10. Ooh. He said, be still and know that I am God. You know what the Bible says? I think that's Proverbs 29 verse 20. The Bible said, cause you a fool if you talk quickly without thinking. Proverbs 29 verse 20. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him. Things just happen. Just begin to air your opinion. Don't be like that. Just calm down. That's also how when you begin to raise your children, you will not be calling your children other idiots. Because when they do things, you don't give it as it hurts. Delay your response. Eventually, you will correct them. But no longer with the words you would have used earlier. I'm saying in any area of life, learn. You know, that I thought on this last year. Do you remember? Do you remember this thing last year? The wisdom of right responses. Do you remember this? Where is that? Just delay it. You got the rejection mail. Delay your response. Can I even add, sometimes when a good thing happens to you, delay your response. Before you begin to say, tell everybody, calm down a little. What if there is a job, but God says shouldn't take it? Let me share this with you and I close. When I was looking for admission, I looked for admission for 3 years actually. So one of those years, you know, when Godfrey Okoye University was opening, because it used to be Institute of Ecumenical Studies and all of that. But then, they were now opening the university part of the arm of it. And then, I went there and I wrote the exam. And I got the admission. And I was coming back to the house. Very happy. I had called my mom. I came back. I told them I've gotten admission and all of that. And they were like, how much? I told them. Of course, the school fees was high, but then not higher than what Institute was paying them. You know. And they were promising they were going to give us a brand new laptop. I don't know whether they gave them. They were going to give laptop. So I was just, you know. And then but as I was coming back that day, I kept hearing in my spirit, you are not going to that school. And I didn't understand why. Is it that I have not said at home for long? And how will I begin to tell my mom now that, you know, I've got an ambition, but the Lord said I should not go. You're not going to. I just kept telling it. And I was, when the first came, I said, in the name of Jesus, you foul devil. You spirit that wants to take me back. Stop! I silence you now. Oh, you're not going anywhere. So I came back and told my mom said, well, and for some reason, we had a priest. I was talking about the accountability. Had a priest that I was actually close to them. So I went to his house. I told him, because of admission. He wasn't too excited. And I said, look at the school. I told him to school. He said, ah. Let me not say exactly what he said. I said, I don't think you should go there. But he didn't say it like a very calm way. I'm saying it. He's a very blunt man. The way we look, don't go to that school. That school is not for you. Like, very bluntly, I don't exactly say what you said. And I just said, yes, sir. He didn't even understand. He tried to explain himself to me. I said, no, sir, I get it. He didn't even understand why I said, yes, sir, quickly, but I've been battling in my heart all the way. So I went home and told my mom, I'm not going there. Right? Now, this is supposed to be a good news, but God didn't want it for me. And looking back now, I'm happy I didn't go there. Because God had plans for me in Esut. Right? When I now went to pray, I found out that, okay, you should actually lead a major revival in your campus. I found that through prayer, if I enter school, I'm going to be the SP president of that school. I'm going to do this meeting. I'm going to do a meeting called Explosion. I got this before I gained admission into the school. And I went to the school and the prophecy played out. Imagine if you are just excited about it. Immediately I got admission, I just come on Facebook and I tweeted, where are my co 100 level students in Gopioko here? Meet up with me now. Delay your response. Are you following me, friends? Do not be in a hurry to talk. You get a rejection mail, delay your response. They give you that report that your left kidney has a problem, delay your response. They say your heart will stop beating in the next 30 minutes, delay your response. Just calm down first. Be still. Be still. Because I can tell you, every time you get any information, that information is talking to you, but even at that time, God wants to tell you something at that moment. And if you can quieten your heart, you will hear what God is telling you. The way I used to tell my friends, I say, when you get an information, that information might be broadcasting, you know, radio station from the frequency might be 92.6. You tune the frequency. Tune it to maybe 23.1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. When you tune it to the other place, you begin to hear something else. Then you will now know exactly what to say. Don't say what the devil expects you to say. Say what God has put in your spirit at that time. And the only way to speak it is to delay your response. Are you here? Stand your feet. I'm going to give you 3 minutes. If there are things in your events in your life that you've spoken the wrong way, in the next 3 minutes, I'm going to ask you to pray in the Holy Ghost. And because the Lord said to me, once you begin to teach on being still, He said, I'm going to bring things in their heart. Events where they've spoken too rashly. Because look at what God showed me in the first service. When the devil does something in your life, now, no matter how bad that thing is, no matter how bad what the devil has done in your life is, that is not the end. He's just waiting for you to use your tongue to put the final nail on the coffin. So, you fail, you write an exam, you come out and it's not looking like it. Nothing has spoiled yet. Until you use your tongue to say, it's carry over. You've nailed it finally. You don't get I feel what I'm saying. You check your health, they say, what do I see now? Your liver is bad, your kidney is bad, your this is bad. You have cancer, you have this, you have that. Now, that is not the final statement. The devil wants you to use your own tongue to accept it and say, mommy, they say I have cancer. I have kidney. And I'm talking to you now. I have 22 days left. What are you doing? You are putting the final nail on the coffin. And I'm using coffin because that's what I see in the spirit. Where they put something in a coffin. Yes, it's already inside the coffin. But it's not yet time for burial because they've not closed that coffin. What will shut that coffin finally is your tongue. Is all following me this afternoon? You have 3 minutes. You're going to pray in the Holy Ghost loud. And whatever issues that you want to address, things that have been going wrong, God is going to give you words that you must speak. And then you will address them. Lift your voice and pray in the Holy Ghost wherever you are. Come on, come on, come on, come on. I hope they are praying where you are. Pray, 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 come on. Woo! Shabala Daria. Pray, pray, pray. Have 2 minutes. Pray.
Through the light for you, the price that you paid gives us life brand new. Hosanna forever, we worship you. Hosanna forever, we worship you. Of you gives way to the light for you. The prize that you gives us life, brand new, Hosanna forever, we worship you.
Sing it again.
The angels bow down at the thought of you.
Yes.
And darkness gives way to the light for you.
Whoosh.
The price that you paid gives us life brand new. Hosanna forever. Whoosh. We worship you. Hosanna forever. We worship you.
Sing it again.
The angels bow down at the thought of you, and darkness gives way to the light for you. The price that you paid keeps us alive, brand new. Hosanna.
Please play. You have 30 more seconds. Make sure your voice. It's been led to this prayer. Come on.
Hosanna forever. We worship.
One more time.
The angels bow down at the thought of you. And darkness gives way to the light for you. The price that you pay gives us a life. Brand new, Hosanna forever, we worship you. Hosanna forever, we worship you.
Sing it again.
The angels bow down at the thought of you. And darkness gives way to the light. For you, the price that you paid gives us life. Bring you, Hosanna forever. We worship you. of you, and darkness gives way to the light for you. The price that you paid gives us a life brand new. Hosanna forever. We worship you.
In the name of Jesus. And we pray for the mercy of God. For anyone who has spoken words that shouldn't have been spoken, and it has empowered the devil in his or her life, we plead God's mercy this afternoon. In the name of Jesus. And we are speaking over you. May mercy prevail. I say, may mercy prevail. In the name of Jesus. And I'm praying that from now, this situation is turned around now. The situation is turned around now. Financial issues are turned around now. Marital issues are turned around now. Health challenges are fixed right now. In the name of Jesus. And as you give your amen, I'm going to stand in my prophetic office. You know, thank you, Holy Ghost. Jacob spoke over Reuben and told him, you went up to my couch, so you will not excel. And that curse followed Reuben for long. Until in Deuteronomy 33 and verse 6, Moses stood in his prophetic office and he spoke over Reuben. He said, let Reuben live and not die. Let not his men be few. And that's what I'm going to say. Every word that has been spoken against you, or that has been spoken against yourself, we reverse those words in the name of Jesus. You shall live, you shall not die. Your men shall not be few. In the name of Jesus, I declare victory on every side. Victory on every side. Victory on every side. Victory on every side. As you speak your amen, we reverse the negative words that have come from your tongue. In the name of Jesus. We take back those words in the name of Jesus. Victory has just come. Victory has just come. Words that you've spoken that have limited you, we reverse the impact of those words. We declare acceleration now. In the name of Jesus. You know, look at me. Many years ago, my dad told me a story. Spiritual father told me a story. There was some things that happened in the Body of Christ some years ago, where many people were trying to claim that they had knowledge and all of that. And many people were saying things like, you know, it's not about this, it's not about growth, whether we are big or we are small, it doesn't matter. You know, those kind of words. One day the Lord told him, he said, those kind of things, even though they are true, they will keep limiting you, because you've been saying, whether we are small or not, it doesn't matter. He said, for long in church, they were speaking almost every day, taking back all those words that have been spoken. I get the point. Because the truth of the matter is that God doesn't validate people with crowd, quite all right. But God works with crowd. Jesus fed crowds of people. And the Lord gave him a word, which I've also given us here. There can be multitude, and yet they will all be disciples. Plenty doesn't always mean compromise. Whereas scanty doesn't always mean authentic. I get what I'm saying? The fact that there are 10 people in church, say, that's a real church because they're small. That's not true. But when you begin to talk like that and say things like, big church, they're compromising, you will never be big. I get the point. All people that have money in this country, is Yahoo that doing? You will never be rich. Because you will not do Yahoo. And you've already said that anyone that is doing Yahoo, that is rich, is doing Yahoo. I get what I'm talking about. All these girls buying big cars, yeah, they tell us that they're making the money. Stop talking like that. This is a warning for someone. Because once you keep talking like that, your heart will grow to believe it. But all those negative words now, we overturn them now. I say we overturn those words now. I say we overturn those words now. In the name of Jesus. From now, there is victory on every side. I say there is victory on every side. I say there is victory on every side. I say there is now victory on every side. Do you believe this afternoon? Say, I have victory. Say it again. Say it again. Say it again. Now, this is not the time to keep quiet because you still this your tongue. You'll be using to talk all the rubbish you've been talking. Now it's time to say the right thing. Your mom ready. Say, I have victory. Say it again. Say it again. Now, let's take this that we took in the first service. Say, God. Say it again. Say it again. He's doing much more in my present and in my future than the devil has done in my past. Say, God is doing much more in my present and in my future than the devil has done in my past. Like you know it now, hit your chest and say, God is doing much more in my present and in my future than the devil has done in my past. If you believe that, give the Lord a loud shout this afternoon. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God bless you. You may be seated.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.